Good morning. We welcome everyone to our online broadcast today, and we welcome each one in the Saviour's name. We'd like to begin our service by turning to the Psalm 90, and we'd like to read this psalm together. The Psalm 90, commencing verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherewith thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to follow with this blessing, this reading from his precious word. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord that we are gathered together in thy presence. We thank the Lord that thou dost look down upon us this day. We can say that this is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And O Lord, as we come to thee, we come with praise in our hearts. And we are reminded in thy word that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sea, thy name is to be praised. We rejoice today that we are found in Christ. We thank the Lord that thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. And today we rejoice in thy salvation that you've given to us so richly and so freely. And we do pray that, Lord, as thy people, that thou would help us to be the people that you have us to be. We pray that you'd enable us, Lord, to be a holy people. Be enable us, Lord, that we would shun every known sin in our lives. And, O Lord, we pray that you would help us and enable us to live to your honour and to your glory. And so we thank you, Lord, that we're able to take this time today to meet around thy word. And we pray for your presence. We pray for your blessing. And, O Lord, we pray for your blessing upon every family, for each one who is listening in to the service today. We thank you, Lord, that we can commit all our cares and all our concerns to thee. We realize, Lord, that there are those who are going through difficult times, many troubles and trials have beset them. And, O Lord, we thank thee that we can commit and commend all to thee today. Remember, Lord, those who mourn, those who have suffered the loss of loved ones in recent times. We pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to comfort them. Remember, too, Lord, those who are laid aside, those who are in hospital today. We pray that you can undertake for them and be pleased, Lord, to raise them up again. So, Lord, too, as we think of the situation that we find ourselves in these days with the virus, we do pray that thou will be pleased, O Lord, to that there might be Lord, a suitable cure developed, Lord, to give protection from the same. And we remember too the doctors and nurses who work in our hospitals and health service. We pray that you would undertake for them, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, that they would be enabled, Lord, indeed, to do their work. Lord, even in these days, in the midst of all the challenges. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll continue with us now. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to undertake for us in our worship today. And may all be to thy honour and to thy glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to thank the church today for the invitation to come and to join with you and to share with you in your worship service in Londonderry. We have been looking forward to preaching, and although that we're not able to join with you in person today and to meet together physically in the church, we do pray that the Lord will be pleased to grant his presence and his blessing to each home that is listening in and to everyone who is joining with us for our service today. We'd like now just to turn again in the scriptures to our scripture reading today, which is taken from 2 Peter, the chapter 3, and the verses 1 and to 18. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and let us read verses 1 to 18 of the chapter. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition unto ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. This chapter in 2 Peter chapter 3 begins with a call to remembrance. Peter begins in the verse 1, and he tells us that the second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." In the Word of God, we are often called upon to remember. We're called upon to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, the Lord said to his disciples, "This do ye in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 15, and in verse 4, he tells us, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." It is good for us to remember what the Lord has said to us in his word. And it is good for us to remember that which will help us to serve the Lord better. As we consider ourselves, we do not deserve anything from the Lord. The Lord could have passed us by and left us in our sin, but the Lord did not. He redeemed us by his precious blood. He redeemed us into his kingdom. He has made us the sons and daughters of the heavenly King. Moreover, it is good for us to remember the many blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. How that the Lord has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. How that he has promised to give us eternal life and an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. It is also good for us to remember that the time that we have in this world is short. We're not here forever. And our days are passing by very quickly. Our days go by one after the other. The Word of God reminds us that our lives are like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. We're reminded of this by God's servant Job in chapter 7 and verse 6. Whenever he says that my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5 and verse 15, and verses 16, in light of this fact that our days are numbered, in light of this fact that our days are passing by very quickly, the Apostle Paul reminds us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Moreover, whenever we think of the state of the world today, we have to say that whenever we survey all that is going on in the world, we have to say that this world is a wicked place. And people are going further and further away from the Lord and from his word. And as we consider that, we realize that this world is getting riper and riper for the judgment of God. And from what we read in the Bible, we know that this is how things will be and how things are to be before the returning of the Lord again to this world, before the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the first coming of the Lord into the world, he came as a little child into manger in Bethlehem. But whenever the Lord ascended into heaven, the angels spoke to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The day of the Lord's return, I believe, is approaching. And we who are the Lord's people, that we should be looking forward to that day. The day whenever the Lord will once again stand upon the Mount of Olives. That day will be the crowning day for the people of God, but it is also going to be a terrible day. for those who are out of Christ, for those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Saviour. Today the world has little thought of Christ. The world is going about its business. Just like the clock, it is continuing to tick. It is continuing to go on and to go on just as it's done, with little thought for the kingdom of heaven or for the God of creation. People are buying and selling. People are seeking after the material things of the world. People are running after the pleasures of sin. Many do not see or realize that there is a God that has created the world. And they do not realize that all that is in this world, all the people of this world are accountable to God, accountable to Him for all of their thoughts, all of their words, all of their deeds. Many today do not believe in this book, do not believe in the Word of God. Many seek to contradict what is recorded in this book. The devil, the skeptics, the false teachers are all ready to destroy the truth of this book and destroy the promises that the Lord has given to us in the scriptures of truth. And as reminded in our Bible reading in 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. People imagine that this world is going to continue as it has done from generation to generation. People imagine that because that they have lived many years in their sin, they believe that God is not going to judge them for their sin. But we have to say, I believe that they have misunderstood the long-suffering nature of the Lord toward the sinner. As the Lord reminds us in verse 9 of 2 Peter in chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord has not forgotten the sinner, and he has not forgotten the sinner's sin. The accounting records are still being tallied, and one day the account will be presented. Remember, and it is good to remember as the Lord is coming into the world, how that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let us always remember, the Lord does not forget the sinner nor his sin. And as man's sin increases, so does the wrath of God that is awaiting him, awaiting to be poured out upon him. As a man's sin increases, God's wrath that is to be poured out upon man increases. And one day the wrath which has been long and kindling, it will burst forth into flames of fire. We come to our text today, which is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And I would like for us to consider two things here from our text. First of all, the future that awaits the world. And then secondly, the manner of persons that we ought to be. First of all, the future that awaits this world. Let us read again the first part of our text, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Some people spend a great deal of time putting together all the different prophetic events that are recorded in the Word of God, and they put them together and they present it to us in a timeline as to when exactly each event is going to take place. Now, I believe that we cannot be completely sure just a timeline and where each of the events will take place. But what we do know is that, and what we can be sure of, is that each particular event that is described for us in the Word of God, that it will take place in the Lord's time. We don't know exactly when, but all will be fulfilled in His time. And as we consider prophetic events, and yes, it is good to know about these events, but what is really important is not only that we know about these events, but that we put into practice those things that we should do in our lives. We should live our lives in the light of what is going to take place. We should live our lives in the light of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning again. We need to act on the truths that the Lord reveals to us in the Scriptures. And the great truth that is revealed to us here by the Lord in the second epistle of Peter is that this world in its present form is not going to remain forever. But one day it is going to be devoured by fire. And this event will take place in the context of the Lord's judging the world for sin. And let us remember that the Lord has judged this world for its sin before. This has happened before in our scripture reading. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. You see, there was a time in the past, in the days of Noah, whenever the Lord destroyed the world by a flood, by a great flood. Let us never forget that. And if we look closely around us in the world today, there is evidence of that great flood in the days that are past. Think of the features that we have, like the giant, or like the Grand Canyon in the United States. Think of whenever maybe a new road is being constructed and it cuts through a hill or a mountain. And there you look at the layers of soil and that, and you see the different layers and see layers of stone and layers of different types of soil. How did that come to be? Was it not deposits at the time of the great flood that once ravaged the earth? Well, there are signs around us of the great flood in the days that are past. And this was not something that happened by accident. God did it. And He did it, and as a result of the consequences of man's sin. You remember how it's recorded in Genesis chapter 6, in the verses 5 to 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. The Lord warned men over and over again about the consequences of their sin. And so the flood of sin that led to the flood of water and destruction. In the coming days, the flood of sin is going to lead to a flood of fire. The flood of destruction. And this judgment of fire is going to be a terrible thing. The Lord is going to destroy the plague of sin that there is in this world. The Lord is going to make a new heaven and a new earth that has been cleansed by fire. Think of all that there is in this world. One day it is going to be destroyed by fire. All that man has designed and invented and constructed from the beginning of his time in this world will be destroyed. The castles, the great castles, the great homes, the stately homes, the cathedrals which have stood for thousands of years, the great bridges, the roads that crisscross our land. One day there will be no more. Everything that man has designed and constructed and built will be no more. All that is a symbol of wealth and power will be no more. As you read in our text in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. This world will become a molten mass. Can you imagine that? We don't know how that will happen, but it will happen. Maybe if you were talking to a geologist, he may be able to tell you about this earth and explain how at this time that the earth is just, it's just a molten mass with a thin outer crust. That outer crust which gives us the land that is around us, the mountains, the hills, the valleys and the rivers. Whenever we think of the earth, the distance from the outer crust of the earth to the surface of the earth to the centre of the earth is a distance of around 4,000 miles. Then as we think of the surface of the earth, we have the oceans. And those oceans cover an average depth of about 12 miles. The average sort of depth of the crust of the earth is about 30 miles. And whenever you go deeper, all the rocks are molten. And in the areas where the crust is thin, you have then the volcanoes. And from time to time, these volcanoes erupt and they spew out some of the molten lava, which is the material that rests underneath the crust of the earth. And that lava is poured out whenever the volcano erupts. Think of Vesuvius in Italy, a great volcano that is active. And there are a number of other very active volcanoes. I'm not trying to pronounce their names because the names to me are difficult to pronounce, but they are there and you can look them up on the internet and you can see the video of the activity that has taken place and you can see the lava that has been spewed out. And then in Bible times you think of the account that is given of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were destroyed by fire. Remember too that we also have landmarks here in Northern Ireland, which are the result of volcanic activity. Think of Slemish Mountain, which is a volcanic plug. Think of the features that there are at the Giant's Causeway. Those hexagonal structures have arisen with the cooling of the lava. Remember too the great heat and the temperatures that are involved in the centre of the earth. Whenever a kettle boils, it boils at 100 degrees Celsius at sea level. But it is reckoned that the temperature in the centre of the earth is somewhere in the region of 6,700 degrees. And if the Lord allowed the earth's crust to break up even a little bit, then this world would become a molten mass. But then you could talk to an astronomer, and he could tell you about the asteroids that are hurtling through space at 56,000 miles per hour. You might drive your car at 56 miles an hour and think you're going fast enough. But these asteroids are hurtling through space at 56,000 miles per hour. There's one that is talked about at present, which is somewhere in the region of 400 to 800 meters across. And it's not going to collide with the earth. It will pass by. And so it's not a danger for us in these days. But what if such an asteroid should strike the earth? It's not beyond the realms of possibility. Films have been portrayed, or been made portraying such a scenario. And yes, the astronomer could tell you how it could be possible for this earth to be destroyed. But then whenever you talk to a physicist about nuclear energy, what happens in nuclear reactions? What happens when an atom is split? Is it not that there are a huge amount of energy released? This can be harnessed in a good way, for example, nuclear power stations to produce electricity. But it can also be used to produce weapons of mass destruction. At present, there are enough nuclear weapons in the world to destroy this world many times over. We don't know how this world will come to pass away with great noise. We don't know how the elements will melt with fervent heat, but they will. But it is going to happen one day. In our text, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Notice what is recorded at the beginning of the verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The Lord is going to return to this world. He is coming back again. He's going to come. He'll be coming unexpectedly. He'll be coming without warning. And the people are going to be the same as they were in the days of Noah. How did the people respond to Noah and to the warning that he had given to them? They continued as they were. They said the earth has continued since the time of Adam. All is okay. The earth has continued from generation to generation. There is no need to worry. And as the people considered Noah and his building of the ark, well, they looked upon him as being some crazy man. They said, Noah, you're worrying the people with all your outlandish stories. The world has continued. There is no danger. There is no need to worry. But Noah was faithful to the Lord. He warned the people. But the people continued in their sin. They continued in their rebellion against the Lord and his word. They continued until that day whenever God closed the door of the ark. The people had many days of opportunity. But those days of opportunity came to an end. There was the last day of opportunity. And so it is with this present age. There is day after day of opportunity. But the day of opportunity will come to a conclusion. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. But this is not the end of the story, because we read in the verse 13, nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. As the prophet Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah chapter 66 in the verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Yes, there is a future that awaits this world, and there is a future that awaits the people of God. And in light of what we've just been considering from the Word of God, this brings us to our second consideration. As we consider the fact that one day that this world is going to be destroyed with fire, then the question is, what manner of person ought I to be? This is our second consideration in our text. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What does this mean? What does this mean? Today, if we are to consider our position, we are in a similar position to what people were in the days of Noah before the Lord destroyed this world. Only today, the Lord is not going to destroy the world by a flood. We know that because the Lord has promised that he wouldn't do it, and each time that we look up into the sky and we see a rainbow, that is a sign to us that the Lord's not going to destroy the world by a flood, but he's going to destroy the world by fire. And I believe that it's a benefit for us to consider the manner of person that Noah was in his day. Noah, I'm sure, whenever he looked around him, he saw the beauty of God's creation. He saw the birds in the air. He saw the animals in the field. He saw the plants and the flowers growing in the fields. He saw the beauty of God's creation, and he was mindful of the great beauty of God's creation. But Noah reminded the people of God's way of salvation. He reminded them of the great need that they had to repent of their sin and to receive the Lord to be their Savior. But the people, they didn't understand what Noah was about. They didn't understand, and they considered him to be some eccentric person. But here we're reminded in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, and they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. the people, they had given themselves to the pleasures of the world. They bought, they sold, they planted and they built it. But in all of this, they made one mistake. They forgot about the Lord. The rain came from above. The earth opened from beneath and water gushed forth and covered the earth. The day of destruction had come. And so as we consider how Noah conducted himself and what he said and what he did, this should motivate us in our day, that we too would be faithful witnesses to the Lord. What manner of person ought I to be? We need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell others that there is a day of judgment is coming. We need to tell others about God's way of salvation. And our conduct and our lives should be a witness to the fact that we are different. That we are in Christ. That we believe the message that we preach. And yes, we have to work to provide for ourselves and our families. Yes, young people will grow up and be married. Yes, we will be engaged in buying and selling and involved in planting and building and all of these things may be legitimate. And we may engage in all of these things. But let us remember that our priorities are different from those in the world. For we seek to put the Lord first in our lives. We have a different perspective of things. What manner of person ought I to be? We are to put God first. And in everything we are to seek to bring honour and to bring glory to his name. This world, one day it will be destroyed in accordance with the word of God. And we are to realise that that is as a result of sin. And that very fact underlines to us that our God is a holy God. He is one who does not overlook sin. And he punishes sin. He records the details of sin and he judges and he will punish sin. Present, the Lord is holding back the fire. Why is that? It is because he is long-suffering. It's because he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, that all should be redeemed by the precious blood. Remember here that in this chapter that the Lord is speaking to those who do profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and who are redeemed by his precious blood. And he is indicating to them and said, what manner of persons ought you to be? What manner of person ought I to be? We are to be holy because the Lord is holy. Now there are two branches here to the holy life that we have in verse 11, 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation and godliness. There are two branches here to the holy life. The holy conversation speaks of our behavior towards our fellow man. And godliness speaks of a holy walk with God. And whenever we think of the division that there is in the Ten Commandments, in the first table of the law, we have our duty and responsibility to God. And in the second table, we have our duty and responsibility to our fellow man. And we need a right relationship with both. We need to have a right relationship with God. And we need also to have a right relationship with our fellow man. And with this in mind, the Word of God should always be before us. We should seek to spend time with the Word of God and we should seek to profit from it. Sometimes people just casually read the Word of God and then they say, I really have not profited from it. I have not really benefited from my reading of the Word of God. Pastor Dennis Lyle, in his series of books on journey through the Bible, in his introduction to this book of Second Peter, he tells of a man called Dr. Cogdon. He was a friend to R.A. Torrey. And one day he approached R.A. Torrey, the great Bible teacher, and he complained that he wasn't getting anything out of his Bible study. And he asked Dr. Torrey, he said, please tell me, how to study the Word of God so that it will mean something to me. And R.A. Torrey said to this man, he said, read it. But the man objected, he says, I have read it. And he said, R.A. Torrey said, read it. Read it read it. He advised them to read it. He said, take some book and read it 12 times a day for a month. And Dr. Coughlin was a bit bewildered at that, but he went away and that's what he did. And R.A. Torrey recommended that he began by reading this book here of 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a little book. It's just for 3 chapters. And it's not beyond the possibility of being able to read this book over a number of times, morning and evening. But Dr. Cotman, later he was to acknowledge that he found great truths and great gems and much silver and gold from reading the Word of God over and over again and meditating upon it. And it's the same for us. If we take the time to read, and even to take this chapter that we have been reading here in 2 Peter chapter 3, to take it just and to read it and to read it and to read it, and to let its truth sink into its soul, I believe that it will be profitable. It will be profitable for us. You know, we need to pay attention to the little details that there are in the Scriptures of truth. The little details, to all of the little things. And whenever we think of God's creation, God, the Lord, paid great attention to the detail of His creation. You study any one organ of the body and study how it works, and you will discover the great detail there is. If you were to study the eye, realize there's great detail there. If you were to study the ear and how we're able to hear, you'll realize there's great detail. The Lord has very carefully designed the ear. He has made it. Our God is a God of precision. Think of the minutes and the hours and the day and the days and the year. Our God is a God of detail. Little things are important. And remember also that very often that the big things are made up of a whole lot of little things. So, being in Christ, we have a different perspective on the things of time. We think differently from the world. Think of Moses and how he viewed all the wealth and the pleasures of Egypt. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What manner of person ought I to be? We need to look at things from a heavenly perspective. We need to put God first. We need to be disciplined in our lives. Remember that we're not in this world forever. I pray that the Lord would give to us wisdom and understanding, that we would be enabled to spend our lives in the way that it will be profitable, not only in time but for eternity. May the Lord help us to be faithful in all our duties and responsibilities. Our duties and responsibilities to the Lord. Our duties and responsibilities to our fellow man. May the Lord help us to be a faithful witness. May the Lord help us to guard against error. May the Lord help us to be steadfast and to earnestly contend for the faith that there is in Christ. Today we have to acknowledge that the Lord has been good to us. We've been redeemed by His precious blood. He has pardoned our sin. We stand accepted before Him. And for our righteousness is not our own, it's the righteousness of Christ. We love the Lord because He's first loved us. As the Apostle Paul thought and all that the Lord had done for him, he was to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was content to live or to die at a moment's notice. Paul was prepared just to finish his work at a moment of time to be with the Lord. Charles Wesley, he intimated a similar vein of thought. And he said on one occasion, whenever he was speaking about death, and he said, now if I was to die tomorrow, how would I act today? What would I do today? I said, I would just do exactly the same as I intended to do. I'd go and preach. I'd go and do the Bible study. I would spend time in prayer. And in the morning, I would get up and spend time in prayer. I would do exactly as I am doing. Oh, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Is that how we view our life? Are we prepared at a moment's notice to be absent in the body and to be present for the Lord, and for that to be a happy occasion? I believe it is, and it will be, to all who are in Christ. But I fear for those who are out of Christ. And those who are out of Christ need to flee from the city of destruction, because this world is going to pass away. Our safety today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of our text. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I pray that these words will sink deep within your heart, deep within your soul today. And I pray that you will consider the manner of a person that I ought to be. Not what someone else should be, but what I should be. And this is a question for me as well. What manner of person ought I to be? And if you're not saved today, remember the day of God's judgment is coming. And I pray that you will come to Christ. I pray that you'll turn your back upon your sin. And I pray that you'll embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him today to be your Savior. May the Lord be pleased to give you enabling grace to do so. The Lord will save all who come. Reminded in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us close with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, today that we've had the opportunity to spend this little time around your word. And Heavenly Father, you remind us in your word that this world is not going to remain forever. There's a day coming and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And we do pray, Lord, that in the light of this fact, you could help us, Lord, to reassess even our relationship with the things of time and with the things, Lord, of this world. And Lord, we know that we are to engage in activity from day to day, but help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, the matter of eternity. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shut. We pray as thy people, God, and help us to be a faithful witness. Help us, Lord, indeed, to present the way of salvation to others. Help us, Lord, to have done with sin in our lives. Help us, Lord, to be a holy people. Help us, Lord, to share the message of the gospel with others. And Lord, enable us day by day to live to thy honor and to thy glory. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray and we call out your blessing for each one who has tuned in to this message today. And we pray now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit would continue and abide with us until we gather around your word again. We ask it in Jesus' name.